Auburn drops another one to Vanderbilt at home. Another home loss. Let's talk about it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and let's just dive right into it. Auburn loses to Vanderbilt 17-7, another home loss, another horrific offensive output, another horrific loss at home, another missed opportunity, another missed chance to gain some momentum, build some momentum, and it just sort of has become the theme of this year. Auburn can't get out of their own way. We're going to dive into it from a number of different perspectives, a number of different ways. But before we get started, let's give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. This is why they're able to keep the lights on. Games like this is why Vegas is who Vegas is. They begged you to take Vanderbilt, and all the money just kept coming in on Auburn, and the line went all the way up 2 points. Vanderbilt obviously covered and won, and Vegas is laughing all the way to the bank. But this is why they can offer double up deposit bonuses. That's why. So hopefully, if you did bet on the game, you used your free money, so it didn't cost you anything. But regardless, you can still have some fun. Teasers, parlays, first half, second half, live betting, they got it all. So check them out at mybookie.ag. Obviously, I want to be very transparent. I'm a huge Auburn fan, a huge Auburn graduate. I don't pretend to not be. I don't pretend to be not be a fan. I'm not a journalist. I typically try to be pretty honest and pretty fair. And I think I do a pretty good, I think I do a decent job. But I think that's why this show is relatable, because I feel like a lot of times you're hearing maybe yourself talking, you're hearing yourself, your emotions kind of being expressed. And I'm going to be honest. I don't want to say I'm pro anybody. Okay. Because that would suggest I'm picking a side and not really looking at both, I guess, both opinions or both sides of the argument. I'm just kind of picking a side and going with it regardless. Okay. So I've been labeled somewhat of a defender and this, that, and the other, but I will say this, games like this are getting harder and harder to talk about. Games like this are getting harder and harder to find the positive in. And games like this are honestly getting harder and harder to defend. I don't really think I defend anything. I think I just try to point out realities. And the realities are that since the Georgia game, and we'll talk about this in just a minute, since the Georgia game, the offense has been sort of caught. The offense has been so bad that it's been caught in a way to protect yourself from turnovers, but it's completely changed. You know, completely changed the ability of this offense to make plays. It's completely changed the ability of this offense to be explosive, and it's just been really tough to watch over this last stretch. It's so hard. And this is another reason why I try to stay positive, or try to find the positives, because you want to see this staff succeed. You want to see Auburn build this thing and get this thing going in the right direction. It's insane to see the discrepancy of how positive things are going off the field versus how negative things are going on the field, from the recruiting aspect, from the building this offensive staff or off the field staff, to getting this class, I mean, to have 27 commits and getting crystal balls and predictions for another 4-star prospect. You have those guys are locked in. Like I talked with a five-star commit that we have, and he's going to be on the show on Monday. And to hear him talk about the vision, and hear him talk about how the class is locked in, and hear him talk about who they're going to add to this class, and hear him talk about all the positives and how well he feels like this staff is put together. To hear all that positivity on that side and see the negativity on the field is mind-blowing. It's the canyon between those two is immeasurable. It's unreal. And then to take it even further, to see the positivity on the defensive side of the ball, the continuing to get better on that side of the ball versus continuing to get worse on the offensive side of the ball for 2 years is mind-blowing. It really is. It's unsettling almost that it can be that bad on one side, on one aspect of the team, really. I understand we can argue about special teams, we can argue about other stuff, but if in reality the issue with this team is offensive, and the offense is offensive. It's offensive to watch, and it's crazy when you really sit back and look at how things are going off the field, how things are going on the defensive side of the ball. How has Auburn only won 3 games this year? It's really, really, it's breathtaking how incredibly insane this season has been. It's I've never seen anything like it. Typically, when teams go bad, they're just bad. And what's funny is, like, you just feel like you can be in all these games, and if you can just do a couple more things, you can win these games. So it's like you want to say, based off the record, you're awful, but it doesn't feel like you're awful. It feels like you're just, you can't get out of your own way, or you're in your own head, or things like that. And then look at how the defensive side plays, and you look at the recruiting class. You're like, man, something's not adding up here. What is going on? And then you lose this game, and after a big win against Kentucky, where you physically dominated them, even though you did nothing different from Georgia to Missouri to Kentucky to Vanderbilt, you did nothing different in any of those games, but you pushed Kentucky around and physically dominated them in their own place. And then you come home and you kind of you just stick to the same game plan. And I said on the preview show, Vanderbilt's going to do every single thing they can possibly do to stop the run. And they did. Now, I know we can talk about the lack of touches of Jarquez, and I'm sure we'll talk about that for 2 weeks. And that's fine. I think there's something going on there, and I'm not 1,000% sure what it is. But yeah, it's just, the season has presented so many opportunities to build momentum. It's presented so many opportunities to stop the bleeding. It's presented so many opportunities to change the tune. And every single opportunity, they could not do it. And it's pretty disheartening. I think the whole season will be defined by missed opportunities and different chances that Auburn had to really grab the reins and turn this thing around quickly. I mean, you can go back to the Oklahoma game. You know, what kind of momentum could have been built coming out of that? You go to the Cal game where you have, you know, 5 turnovers in the game. You know, what if you only have 2? What does that game look like? You go to Arkansas where you have 4 turnovers in the first half, but you're still in the game. You make a quarterback change. You're going down the field, and a ball goes off a receiver's hands and into an interception, and then it basically ends the game. I mean, so many chances to change the tune, and you just couldn't do it. I've never seen anything like it. It's really, really mind blowing. It's really mind blowing how you just have been 0 for for everything. Zero for every opportunity. Every opportunity that's presented itself, you went zero for all those opportunities. And that's just, it's kind of like the Anchorman meme. I'm not even mad. That's amazing. It really is. It's amazing you can have that many chances and not be able to do it. So let's talk about the offense. I've got a little take on the offense, and I want to see what you guys think about it. You can hit me in the comments, whatever. But I don't feel like – I feel like since the Georgia game, there's been a change in the way that Auburn has called offense, how Hugh Freeze has called offense. And it's been to protect against turnovers. It's been to call around I hate to say it. I hate to continue to pile on, but it feels like you're calling the game around Peyton Thorne. You're calling the game in ways that he feels comfortable executing. And then he can execute those things at times. I mean, he went 20 of 29 for over 200 yards. I think threw a touchdown, even though it was the worst pass I've ever seen. And Rivaldo showed the most effort he's shown since he's been at Auburn to score there. He's able to do those things, but it completely removes the aspect of this offense that makes it so dynamic, the explosion aspect of it. When you call games outside of who you are in the way that you know how to win games and the way how you know how to score points, when you're trying to do that, you completely handicap yourself. Vanderbilt just did not respect the fact that we could throw the ball deep. They did not respect the fact that we would even remotely try to throw the ball deep. They lined up, put seven guys in the box, dared us to throw it, and we got zero push on the offensive line. We couldn't run the ball. I know people will want more touches from Jarquez. He had a really good run to start the game, and then after that, there was no room. There was just nothing there. But you continue to try to do the dink and dunk. You continue to try to do the misdirection, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You got to have some sort of vertical threat. You got to have some sort of passing. You got to have some sort of passing threat. I said early in the game in some group chats and in our game thread on the bar and auburn.com that unfortunately Auburn's going to have to throw the ball to win this game. And they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it when they needed to. Again, I can think of so many different things. Like think about the play to Jarquez. That was it was very similar to the touchdown pass he caught against New Mexico. That's an easy throw for Peyton to make. That's an easy play. That's a play that's called. That's a really good call, and it was set up, and he could have gone forever. And I don't know why Jarquez tried to use one hand. It was not on. It was not on target. It was definitely going to be a much tougher catch than it should have been. It was a bad throw, but I don't know that it had to be a one-handed catch. But still, that is calling a play based off of what Peyton's comfortable with, and then he couldn't execute it the way that it needed to be to keep it, to actually make the play work. A little bit off target here, a little bit off target there. It's just not who this offense is. Just doesn't look like what Hugh Freeze is used to. But I will say this. This isn't going to be the only time where you're going to have issues with a quarterback that, maybe he's a little bit injured. Maybe he's a little bit, maybe not quite developed 100% yet, or have some type of deficiencies. You got to be able to manipulate your offense to fit your personnel a little bit and still be able to be competent. And this just has not looked competent at all. Over the last several weeks. I know last week it worked because for whatever reason, Kentucky just decided they didn't want to play football anymore. And maybe Auburn made them quit, but they decided they didn't want to tackle anymore. They decided they didn't want to try to stop the run anymore. They just quit. I wanted to try to I wanted to try to take a while from yesterday to just really digest this whole thing. And again, I just feel like since the Georgia game, the identity has shifted to this play it safe mode, which maybe there's an argument for, but it's completely taken away this offense's ability to be explosive. You know, one of the things we talked about on several shows is how even though Auburn was losing, in the even in conference games, Auburn was like leading the country and towards the top of the country in a lot of categories of explosive plays, 40-yard plays, 30-yard plays, 50-yard plays. Auburn was right there towards the top. And as you take, when you take that element away, you know, maybe that's a lot of the reason why Jarquez was averaging, you know, 6-7 yards a carry. And now when you go to, okay, well, if he, let's just feed him the ball over and over again, and let's just try to completely keep the ball in front of us, and let's not try to really make anything explosive happen. And teams just figure out, okay, well, they're not going to threaten us deep. So let's just walk up and stop the run. And they can't do anything. That's just the way it's felt. The offense has looked the last that feels like what we're trying to do is limit turnovers, play not to lose, because the defense is good enough. They may keep us in the game and maybe we'll bust one. Maybe Jarquez will get hot. You know, maybe we'll break one, but we won't turn it over and cost us the game. But what you're doing is you're completely stymieing your offense. This offense can't win games. This offense can't win, you know, the next three games that we have, ULM, Texas A&M, and Alabama. I'm not sure this offense can win one of those games. The defense can win all of them. I'm not sure this offense can win one of those games. Calling the offense the way you're calling it, I'm not sure that it can win one of those games. I don't know. I really don't know what's going on with Jarquez. I really don't. I know that we had very limited possessions in the second half. I understand that. So when you look at total plays versus touches, it's probably not that bad, but you get the ball on your own one-yard line, and he's not in the game. He's on the sideline with his helmet off. Something's up there, and I don't 100% know what it is. I don't know if something was said. I'm completely speculating now. I have no inside information on this. But something's up there. And then on the next drive, he doesn't go in. And remember, that's the drive, I believe, where we were starting to kind of move it a little bit. And then we got outside of ourselves. We started to sort of panic a little bit. And we ran the little reverse thing, which I don't have a huge problem with trick plays. But that seemed like we have no faith that we can get a big play. And we feel like we got to get a big play here. And we ran it. And obviously, you only had one route, which typically on a plays like that, there may not be, but only one route. But he couldn't throw the ball away because it would have been intentional grounding. And he did everything he could. But seemed like it was kind of a weird spot to call that, especially after you just complete, I think, had two big plays and got a first down. You were kind of moving the ball a little bit. But whatever. I mean, you can pick and prod. On one hand, I'm saying you're taking the explosion away, and then on the other hand, you're trying to do something to be explosive and you screw it up. I can see where that could be sort of playing both sides of the fence. But regardless, I don't really know. I really don't know what's going on with the whole Jarquez situation, but I just feel like unless something changes over the next 2 weeks and you put in a quarterback that you feel like you can throw the ball down the field, or you just decide, Peyton, we're just going to live and die by throwing the ball down the field. We're going to open it up and then bust it inside with Jarquez when we can. This offense, again, 3-9 or 4-8 is what you're looking at. You're not going to beat Texas A&M. They're too physical. I know they just lost to South Carolina, I think they lost to South Carolina. I haven't even watched the SEC scoreboard this morning. Their defensive front's too physical. They're not going to let you run the ball. And then Alabama's got enough athletes, even though their defense is not great. They got enough athletes to make you not be able to run the ball as well. And then ULM, I know they got blown out by South Alabama, but they're having one of their better seasons ever. They got a really good coach. If they can, I mean, if Vanderbilt can scheme Auburn if Vanderbilt can scheme Auburn out of being able to run the ball, I would assume pretty much anybody can. So, really going to be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. It's just, it's bad. It's the offense is really, really bad. And, there's probably going to be multiple shows that we can talk about what we're going to do in the off season. So let's just talk about this game in general. It's just not good enough. It's not good enough. And there's just really no, I know that I don't like saying there's no excuses because I don't think they're really making excuses. You just got to get it fixed. You got to get it fixed. And this offseason is going to be very important in doing that. Defense is incredible. Could not say enough good stuff about the defense. And that may show why some of your higher rated commits in this next class are all defensive guys. Same thing in this last class. There's a ton of defensive guys, very highly rated guys, and they're performing at high levels. There was one play where Amaris Williams and DeMarcus Riddick played an option play that can be very tricky. We talked about discipline from freshmen on the preview show. They played it perfectly, tackle for loss, held Diego Pavia to his worst output of the year, held them under 3 yards a carry, just played so, so good. Diego made 2 incredible throws early in the game and then did nothing from there on out. We had the punt that went down to the 1 and we couldn't get it out. And then we had to do a quick kick, and that got their offense incredibly good field position, stopped them, had a chance to block a field goal. And Keldrick Faulk goes a little bit outside of himself to try to make a play, which we really didn't have to make, but still landed on top of a lineman, which is you can't do on a field goal. Opportunity like that gives them a first down, and then they complete them, 3 or 4 yard pass and score a touchdown. I mean, just shut them down, honestly. Played really good. Keldrick Faulk had an unbelievable game. He got a little bit dinged up there at the end. I think he'll be all right. Anxious to see what happens there. Defensive backs played great. Felt like Jay Crawford got thrown down on an offensive pass interference there at the end as well. One of their only big plays. Probably could have been an offensive pass interference, but overall, those guys are good, man, and they're young, and they're going to continue to be really, really good. Malik Blockton had a big game. Just felt like those guys played really well. And it's crazy to see how well one side can be playing and how poorly versus how poorly the other side can be playing. DJ Durkin is a godsend. He's the only bright spot, it seems like, of this staff right now, if I'm going to be honest. I mean, the defensive staff as a whole, but when you look at all the new faces that came in, DJ Durkin's definitely one of the only bright spots. You can't really point to anything on offense that makes you feel good. Probably going to be a lot of coaching changes on that side of the ball, I would imagine, after this season. Deserve it or not, you can't have – you just can't have that type of – you can't continue to have what you're seeing. It's got to change. So that's all for today. Look, we're going to be live tonight, and we're going to let you guys run the show. I'm going to listen to some of the presser. I'm going to try to dive into the statistics a little bit and have some a couple of talking points, but I want you guys to drive the show, and let's have some therapy together. It's probably going to be tough. It's probably not going to be a lot very cheerful, and that's part of it. You guys deserve it. You've sat through it. You've sat through and watched it. So, hey, let it all out. Let's let it all out tonight and have some fun doing so. But, guys, I really appreciate you listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. And we will be back, tonight and every single day this week. So, it's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely. We'll be right back.